Today, the world is talking about a reunion of Christendom, but that will be the ruin of Christendom. For a while, during the coming great tribulation, it will come to pass, for you can't have one ruler without one religion. But it will be so corrupt that after a while the men will say, "What's the use of a church like this? Why not destroy it?" Even today, I've heard some say, "I don't see why I should give to the church. I'm getting more out of my club, my lodge, my sports." That's sad, isn't it? But we're seeing it now, aren't we? It happens when we turn from the Word to the world in religion. Look at the fourth vision, Revelation 14, verses 9 to 11. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth a mark of his name.'" The individual or the nation or the system whose influence is to evil, which loosens the bonds of the moral law, which makes vice attractive, sin easy, virtue difficult, won't escape the avenging wrath of God. To those who drank the wine of wickedness, God will give another wine to drink, the wine of his wrath. Oh, you may say, there you go talking about hell or the lake of fire. But that's a compliment. Why? You're free to go where you want to go in this life and in the life to come. If you choose to drink the wine of wickedness, then you'll drink the wine of wrath. But you ask, what do you think of a father who'd send his child to hell? Not much. Then you ask, what about God? God doesn't send his children to hell. There never has been. There never will be a child of God in hell. Well then, who'll be there? Those who refuse to become the children of God. Here we see it's those who choose the mark of the beast instead of the seal of God, who choose the devil's Christ instead of God's Christ. The only way you can become a child of God is by receiving Jesus. The Bible says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God." If you're not sure that you have received Jesus, why don't you receive him now? Then heaven will be your home, not hell. Some say all the hell we'll get is in this world. That's not true. Just as believers have a foretaste of heaven on this earth, so unbelievers will have a foretaste of hell on this earth. I've known this to be true. The more we love the Savior, the more we'll hate sin. The more we hate sin, the more we'll believe in punishment for sin. But the more we love the Savior, the more we'll do all we can to save men and women from hell. The less we love the Savior, the less we'll do anything to save souls from hell. But you may say, is this passage we just read literal? Is there a literal fire, or is it symbolic? Our Lord told the parable about the wheat and the tares. He said that the wheat represents the children of the kingdom, and the tares represent the children of the wicked one, and that the harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels, and the gathering of the wheat into the barn is the gathering of the righteous into the kingdom. But the gathering of the tares to be burned in the fire is the gathering of the offensive things and iniquitous persons to be cast into the furnace of fire. Every symbol in the parable is given a meaning by him, except the word fire. Therefore, we're forced to conclude that the fire is literal. You see this in Matthew 13, 36 to 42. Oh, but you say, what will you do about this? Fire on earth consumes. Won't this fire consume its victims and annihilate them? No, no, not at all. Did the fire in the fiery furnace consume the Hebrew children? No, it didn't. Oh, he'll see to it that their bodies won't be consumed, but that they'll suffer torment throughout all eternity. And how long is eternity? Forever and ever. It's not only years tumbling upon years, but ages upon ages in endless succession. One wrote, after the resurrection, sleep belongs neither to the lost nor to the saved. The saved won't need it, for the body of weakness is shaken off. The lost may not enjoy it. Now, the fifth vision, verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Many won't worship the beast, and because they won't, they'll be killed. So we find the word patience. It signifies endurance. Here we see them being loyal to the Lord, even though it meant their lives. So in their patient endurance, they possess their souls, keeping in mind, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But what about those whom the world curses for being true to the Lord? Oh, the Lord calls them blessed. Some time ago, a slogan was coined, it's better to be dead than red. Here we see it's better to be dead than to be alive. If you were put to death for believing on the Lord, their sufferings are forever at an end. Rest is theirs, and so is a reward. There's one word that God didn't intend for man to speak. It's the word death, but God in Christ has taken the sting out of death. A farmer was stung by a bee. Glory, he shouted, that bee will never sting another. Did you kill it? Oh no, he said, but a bee has only one sting. When it stung me, it left its sting in me. Now it can't sting anyone in my family. When death stung Jesus on the cross, it left its sting in Jesus. Now it can't sting us. And God makes even death minister to those who have received his Son. Now, at the moment of death, a believer is blessed. Why? He's absent from the body and at home with the Lord. And that's far better. Tell me, when you die, will you be at home with the Lord in heaven? Don't you want to be? Then just now, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Receive him as your Savior. Then go on to live for him and get others to become Christians too, won't you?